All right, good morning, everyone. It's 8:32. I'll call a meeting to order. Do a roll call. Start with Trish.
Ready this time. Sigali, Trish King, present.
David Jordan, present.
Kirby Matoxin, here.
Dehasa Hill, present.
Brandon Stevens, here.
Daniel Guzman King, here.
Ernie Stevens, present.
And for the record, Secretary Lisa Summers, representing Oneida Nation, is a public member of the Special Committee on State-Tribal Relations, is attending the committee's first meeting of this session in Madison, Wisconsin. And Councilwoman Jennifer Webster is on approved travel, attending the Tribal Self-Governance Advisory Committee strategy session in St. Paul. All right, I'll do the opening this morning. Dauna Ganjokwa, Swurhunsiose, G Nate Hundu Ganahela Dungsla, Aguegos Gaji, Adwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula Daitinoe Ladu, Nain Yukinoa Ohunjage, G Sego, Lona Yonadliwan de Rohari Dachi and Duhaki and Guatnigo, Aguegos Gaji, Adwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitinoe Ladu, Nain Ohnegano Sogo, G Sego, Yonadliwan de Rohari Dachi and Duhaki and Guatnigo. Aguegos kaji dwahwe nuni ngwa nigula dai tinwe ladu nain onegli suha ji sego inali wan jero hari datu ndu hakingwa nigul Aguegos kaji dwahwe nuni ngwa nigula dai tinwe ladu nain kahiondes awahit ji sego yonadli wan jero hari datu ndu hakingwa nigul Aguegos kaji dwahwe nuni ngwa nigula dai tinwe ladu nain oyunkwa u G sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigola de tinoe ladu nain onunquat togo. G sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigola de tinoe ladu nain asanate gundahn daily. G sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain galunda suha g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain gundilia suha g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain gunjokwa g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain ojita suha g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain owela suha g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain Lidisagayan deise, G sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu, nain yodahalo tsunqua jiha, G sego, lon adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu, nain yunki sota hue nidale, G sego, yunki nigula dadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain yoji stokwalu g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain gae niungwedage g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain scanadalio g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni and guatnigula dai tinoe ladu nain sunquai disu g sego in adiwan jiro hadi datu and duha king guatnigo. Dani. All right, so we have the adoption of the agenda. We have three corrections and one addition. Correction item 6B, correct typo. The title, there was a W missing in Junhequa. Also, there is a handout with the corrected resolution for this item. Copies are available at the back of the room. The next one, item 9N, add location of Albuquerque, New Mexico to the travel request. The third item, number 8B4A, correct title to defer service eligibility subcommittee August 2018 update to the September 26, 2018 regular business committee meeting. And the one addition is item 8F7, file number ED18-002, determine next steps. Item 13F7. Those are the recommended changes to the agenda.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda with noted changes.
A motion by Brandon, seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, next up is the oaths of office. The election law requires that the winning candidate from the election be given the oath of office within 30 calendar days after acceptance of the final report. Section 102.11-15, oaths of office, in accordance with the comprehensive policy governing boards, committees, and commissions, are given during the Oneida Business Committee meeting. Section 105.7-3, the final report was accepted on August 22, 2018, and 30 calendar days from the date is September 21, 2018. The winning candidates have been notified of this deadline and the oath scheduled to be given at today's meeting. For those winning candidates that are unable to make today's meeting, we have scheduled a special Oneida Business Committee meeting on September 18th at 8:30 a.m. The winning candidates are on notice that failure to take the oath of office within 30 calendar days of the acceptance of the report of August 22, 2018, the seats shall be considered vacant and the election board shall declare the next highest vote recipient the winner. Section 102.11-15A. All right, I'll turn it over to Brandon to deliver the oaths of office. Do you want me to read the list? All right, we'd like to have Shannon Matoxin, Melinda K. Danforth, Jennifer L. Hill, from the Election Board, the Oneida Gaming Commission, Mark A. Paulus, from the Oneida Land Claims Commission, Donald D. McGlester and Dakota Webster, the Oneida Land Commission, Cheryl Benton, Mike Musso, and Donald D. McGlester, from the Oneida Nation Commission on Aging, Pat Lassla and Lois J. Paulus, the Oneida Nation School Board, Lisa Liggins, Tracy Matoxin, and Melinda K. Danforth, from the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee, Deborah J. Danforth, Lisa Liggins, and Geraldine Danforth. Please, I'll report to Brandon for your oaths of office.
Just helping me in the best interest of the United Nations as a whole.
We're official, then.
Officially.
Oh, yeah.
All right, please see Brooke in the back for any final paperwork that needs signatures. Thank you. All right, our next order of business is minutes. We have approved the July 25th, 26, 2018 regular business committee meeting minutes as corrected.
So moved.
Motion by David. Second. Is there a second? Seconded by Ernie. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next set of minutes to approve is the August 22nd, 2018 regular business committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ernie. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next set of minutes to approve is the August 23rd, 2018 quarterly reports, the business committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Brandon. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The fourth set of minutes to approve is the August 29th, 2018 Emergency Business Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Brandon. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Next up on the agenda is resolutions. Adopt resolution entitled Appointing Delegates to the National Congress of American Indians.
Motion to adopt resolution entitled Appointing Delegates to the National Congress of American Indians.
There's a motion by Brandon. Is there a second? Supported by Trish King. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next resolution, adopt resolution entitled Oneida Employee Onahalagalat Cultural Education Days at Junhequa. Daniel?
Just quick overview regarding this resolution in Junhequa. They brought this forward to look for support in the harvest time of our white corn, and also recognizing it as one of our traditional medicines and looking to get community and organizational involvement and education around our white corn. So this is something that we worked on over the last 2 weeks and developed kind of rather quickly in time for the harvest that's coming up in a few weeks. But we're looking to allow our employees to utilize their paid time off and so that they can participate in the harvest. So kind of just a quick overview of what it's about.
Any further discussion? If not, a motion would be in order.
So moved.
Motion by Ernie to adopt the resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. Discussion, Trish.
I appreciate the effort that's going forth with this and truly respect it. And if it's on behalf of our employees, I just want to encourage and advocate for all employees. And I understand on line 51 and 52, it says that employees who are not full-time status are not eligible to participate in this benefit, referring to the fact that they would have to take vacation or personal time because they don't usually have that. But is there a way that we can include them? And I guess I would look to HRD, who isn't here. I just want to advocate for all employees. So it is up to the supervisor to, it's at their discretion. And I just think that these kinds of things, our policies are infringing upon the value of what we're putting into our culture and trying to encourage and educate. And so I would just encourage that either that line be stricken or it be verified and clarified or changed so that the HRD can help us include all employees in this endeavor.
I would be in support of that, but I guess, yeah, the details and how that would work out, I don't know.
Brandon?
So, I guess I see what you're saying is where the line is creating, maybe filling the gap that maybe it may be more lenient in the Blue Book policy. So it could just make reference to either, I think, for clarity's sake, striking the line would be easiest rather than following the Blue Book, because it would be allowed under the Blue Book under supervision, supervisor discretion. And so with Joanne or Geraldine not here, I think just strike it.
Ernie?
Yeah, I think I agree also, but I mean, at the same time, you know, these employees who are not full-time have a little bit more flexibility with their schedule. So just, you know, again, supervisory discretion to allow them to flex to use that time that they have off because they're not full-time. Full-time employees have a little less flexibility with these kind of things to be able to do it. So I think that's a happy medium. I think you could strike it. I'm not opposed to that. I just think that's something that you can – that goes more consistent with the policies in the Blue Book. They can just, you know, flex it somehow and make it work to be able to attend these kind of events. So just a suggestion, but not opposed to striking it either.
Geraldine, were you able to hear the conversation? Okay, so we're looking to adopt a resolution on line 51 and 52 of that resolution. There's some discussion about striking that line and just leaving it up to supervisor's discretion for those who are not full-time employees.
So what this resolution is about is that we would allow employees 2 hours during a certain time period to help with the white corn. Is that what this is about? Okay. Yes, I would get rid of lines 51 and 52.
All right, so the motioner and a seconder would have to agree to strike lines 51 and 52 from the resolution.
Concur.
Concur.
All right, any further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is Standing Committee. We have the Community Development Planning Committee to accept the June 7th, 2018 meeting minutes.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next standing committee meeting minutes is the Finance Committee. Looking to approve the September 4th, 2018 Finance Committee meeting minutes.
So move.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Support.
Supported by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under Standing Committee is the Legislative Operating Committee. Accept the August 15th, 2018 Legislative Operating Committee meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Support.
Supported by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, under tabled business, approve travel requests in accordance with 219.16-1 for Oneida Language Department staff to Galileo ceremonies in Hogansburg, New York, September 28th to October 5th. So we would need a motion to take this item from the table.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. This item is now ready to be discussed. Kirby?
Yeah, when we last met, we talked about using a van for the travel, but after looking at this travel, I see seven people traveling for the ceremony, each one collecting mileage from $400 up to almost $1,890 for per individual, totaling over almost $4,500. And I'm wondering why they aren't able to use a van to travel to this. Also, the other thing that I'm trying to understand, when you travel and there's meals included, according to the travel policy, meals are, if you're fed meals, you subtract that from your travel. But I see on each one of these, and from what I know about ceremonies, they feed you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's just my little knowledge I know about it. And yet each one is collecting a per diem. So I have concerns with the cost of attending this.
Okay. Tracy?
Skuli Swagweek.
Skuli.
For the first comment that you made on the mileage, we are taking one DPW van. That van is only requesting fuel costs. The other vehicles are only requesting fuel costs, not mileage. Only one vehicle is requesting mileage, and that person will be traveling for 3 weeks on ceremonial trail. The reason for this transportation this way is because two of the travelers who are leaving or requesting to leave on September 28th are only going for 1 week, so they need to return home. Other two are staying out for 3 weeks. One of them, who is requesting mileage, has a sick family member and may need to come home if that person has to go to the hospital, and then I would be the one responsible for taking care of our fire while we're on the trail. The other two are grant-funded positions, and those two are traveling together in the same vehicle, and they will be out there for only 2 weeks. and they are only requesting fuel costs. On the other hand, for the per diem question, I do see on the forms here that it does say 7 days worth of per diem, and that should be corrected because we are only requesting travel on the, or sorry, per diem on the travel dates. We do know that we are fed very well during ceremony times, so that is something that needed to be corrected. So when you see the per diem on Jessica Paulus's request and Joseph Paulus' request and Leander Danforth and myself, then that's something that needs to be corrected.
Kirby?
I hear your rationale for the excessive mileage. I still don't feel it's the tribe. We have vans, and they can ride together. And I think on choosing to go to this, the mileage just is excessive. That's just my opinion. I do have one other question. In the past, is it required when individuals from your area travel, do they submit a report at the conclusion of their travel?
Yes, they do. We report in every year after our travel. Can I describe a little bit about this travel, just so maybe there's a little bit of an explanation here on record right now? In 2005, our community received our fire, which created a relationship with the Iroquois Confederacy again. It makes our community a legitimate longhouse community. And since we have that fire, our community has a responsibility to take that fire out on ceremonial trail every year. For the past 14 years, Leander Danforth has been our delegate that we rely on to do that for us, along with a delegation of community members if they're able to come, and our staff members go for staff development so that they can also know this history and tell it to people and educate our people about our ceremonial responsibilities. And so we take this very seriously, and it's not something that we tend to think of as a social occasion. It's work. And so I'm very thankful that I've been able to travel and that our staff has been able to travel, because we have increased our knowledge and we can be of assistance when Leander decides that he's not able to travel anymore. And we need to think about that, because he's getting to a point in where he wants to retire. So we're going to have to step up and make some things happen and still take care of our responsibilities.
Brandon?
Yeah, I don't think any of us is questioning the importance of the event or mm-hmm. the travel. I think the concern is the deference of individuals and the individual needs and increasing costs significantly as a result. And so I think that's what Kirby's explaining, that the different vehicles at the different times coming back, the need, I think if it's that important, you know, back in the day they said you used to jump in the back of Adam Webster's car or the truck and just, you know, hike it on out there. And I know times have changed. We have policies, you know, to protect the employees as well. And so I think that's the concern we have, is the multiple travels. The mileage is probably one of the more expensive things that we have in the tribe. Multiply that by 2,800 employees. That's why we look at the overall. That's what we see. We see 2,800 employees. We see mileage for the different areas. And so when we look at, we have to be critical of these travels, because that all adds up. Mm-hmm. And especially coming in this new budget, we have to find $3.9 million to balance the budget. And so when we see things like this budgeted, we would like to see more consistency, especially if you had a big group going out there. We'd like to see a big group going together, big group coming back. And that would exponentially across the board decrease our travel budgets across all divisions. And so it's more so a sticking point for us because we have till Friday basically is to cut $4 million. And so we have to take that in consideration of what kind of precedent we're setting by allowing these type of activities to be funded the way they are. And so I think that's the thing that Kirby's really pointing out, and just, you know, this travel is important. It should be important to everyone then. And then they should make their own accommodations rather than us having to pay, you know, $1,000 for an additional driver to meet a personal need. So that's the difficulty that I see Kirby saying, and I have to agree with him that we have to be really critical on this travel because we have been also in the past real critical of this travel, and the community says back in the day, that's what the community tells us all the time, back in the day, this is all that's happened, and we have to balance that with employee safety, the ability of employees to gain capacity, but also, you know, all this, where does it go, you know, when we come back? You know, does it stay in the house, or how do we access the information? And so that goes to the travel reports and how the capacity is built and brought back to the community.
David?
I'm going to make a motion to approve.
Second. There's a motion by David, seconded by Daniel. Discussion. Please come up to the mic. Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure that the correction is taken care of with the per diem. You concur?
Motion. Okay.
I agree with Kirby and Ernie. And also, Ms. Tracy Williams, Williams?
Ms. Yes. Williams?
I heard you mention about you wanted your staff and they could bring that, you know, the importance of these ceremonies and bringing that, your staff learning that and bringing that back here to tell those stories. I know a long time ago, we used to send groups of our community to New York. I don't know whatever happened, what became of that, but maybe that's something I think, you know, yes, sending staff is important, but I think sending community members themselves that, you know, would willing to fundraise or whatever that might be would be something you might think. I myself would, and I'm sure several other family members would love to go and learn more about my culture and tradition. So, you know, I don't know if you ever consider doing that again or there was a reason it was stopped. Second, I do agree when I said I agree with them is that, you know, if they do this with you guys, then I think everybody's going to want special accommodations. And I do understand with Mr. Leander Danforth because he's married to my sister-in-law and I know her health isn't well. You know, it's sad and it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And I don't think that, I don't feel, in my opinion, that we should make such changes like that. I believe that you should go in one van or two cars or a van and a car, but I think that's excess. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Joey?
Answer some of those questions that Nancy has been asking, you know, with that travel and all that. And maybe you can answer some of Kirby's, you know. It's kind of like we've only been recognized for 14 years with our fire. So we're still young at this, where we're still learning. And for people to come out there and try to learn the ceremonies and that, it's the language that's missing, you know. So people can go over there and go to the ceremony, but what they can really get out of it if they don't know the language. So you got all the opportunity to come to the language house to learn, you know. So that's what we're there for, to help learn and all that. So when you go to a ceremony, you're going to understand more. So anybody can go to a ceremony, but you're not going to get nothing out of it if they don't understand what's going on. So what we're trying to do, we work with a lot of this, the language that goes into these ceremonies. So we understand and get a good grasp on ourselves, because just like Tracy was saying, you know, we gotta step up to the plate. And Leander's is basically our only speaker that we have. And doing all the representing and taking back the wampums and all that, you know, that's from here. You know, so what are we going to do without them? What are we going to do without these ceremonies? What are we going to do without our language? Because everything that you guys are working for and protecting, you know, what all protects that is our language. That's what I'm saying, you know. So the costs and travels that go on to everything that happens, you know, there's a lot of relationships that go on within the ceremonial ways of helping one another. So I know I got responsibilities back home, too, where I have to come back home. At the same time, I take my son with me, and I take that in my own pocket, too. But at the same time, I want him to learn this, so I'm grooming him into this so we can have more people to learn and grasp onto this a lot more, where it's more one-on-one, you know, where it's not just it's a couple hours of working with him a day. You know, it's I'm very adamant on it and what we're doing. So I do bring my kids with me so they can learn, you know. And I do that out of my own pocket. I'm not sitting there asking for all this per diem or nothing like that with it, but it does help. It does help the cost with it. So I hope that answers some of your questions and that, but I just want to get down to the bottom line of that. You know, what are we going to do without our language and our ceremonies? Because we're just now a recognized fire. Because Oneida, New York can't say the same thing, but we can, and that's what we're trying to do, is collaborate in a traditional way to where we can come back together in the in Confederacy and the Haudenosaunee people, you know. Dunne.
Yeah. Kirby.
Yes, I want to make it perfectly clear that for me it is not about the language, it's not about the ceremonies. I understand how important that is to you and to our community. The issue for me is the excessive expense in mileage. I understand it's important, and I'm not trying to say it's not important. So I want to make that perfectly clear. For me, it is not about the importance of the ceremonies or the language. It's about the excessive mileage request in this. And the little bit I know about the traditional ceremonies is that they do pay, they do provide meals. And I understand when they have, when people travel to communities, they do host homes, probably more regularly than other cultures. And just looking at the mileage, I want to emphasize, we've been meeting with departments for the last 2 days and having them cut their budgets because we're in a deficit of $4 million. And we're having them cut travel, and we're having them cut other areas, keeping positions vacant. And it's just excessive mileage in my mind. And that's what it is for me. I'm not saying not going to the ceremonies aren't important. They are. I just feel that the excessive mileage and the per diem, I understand that's going to be corrected. But I can't support this with the excessive mileage. I support the travel going to the ceremonies, but I think some of it you have to, you know, it shouldn't be about the money going to the ceremonies and receiving mileage.
Something? All right. Jessica, and you have 5 minutes.
I just want to mention to Kirby, since this is his first term on here in our travel, this is what we've been doing since I've been at the language program, having to come up here and talk about our travel. In the past, we have fundraised for a lot of our travel. So it looks like it's excessive. Maybe this year, because we have grantees that their money is coming out of their grant. But as far as the history of us and financially, we have fundraised for a lot of money. not just for Gully Wheel travel. There's other travel where we work with elders. In the springtime, that's usually happens. We have bake sales. We have raffles. We do things to offset our own costs for travel. So that's just a little bit of the history of our program. I don't know if any other program has to do that, any other department has to do that, but we try to do that because of this situation right here. As far as putting people up in ceremonies, it seems like it's not happening as much as it should be within all of our communities as a Confederacy. There have been times where we did have to, you know, pay for our own hotel because we thought that we would be put up, and we weren't. So that's just the reality of the Confederacy as a whole. So just to give you a small history of what we've done in the past, and if you look at our past travel, we have fundraised for some of our costs for that. So even though it might seem excessive this year because we're in a deficit, it's still our history of asking for excessive costs is not the case at all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Any other discussion?
Yes, my last.
Brandon?
My last piece is that this is coming from the board, the school board, and I have to understand that there's that separation and lateral authority, and it comes up here just for procedural exception. And I think that's the thing we have to have deference for as a committee to say this is from, and we have this discussion we have to have with the school board that they have to manage costs as well. And so I'm not necessarily worried about the two grantees. It's just how the travel can be looked at. And again, I have to reiterate that if this is across the board, we have to set the precedent, make sure that we are continuing to address the mileage is like the one more expensive thing that we'll always have is the mileage. And so I'm in agreement with the motion just because it's a lateral authority from the school board. And so it's a school board issue that we need to discuss with the school board and how they address how the travel happens within their area. And so I have to respect that. And so to the school board and to Tracy, I mean, this is something we're going to have to address because we talk about it every single year is the travel. We have 8 people going. We have 4 vehicles going. And so that's the thing we always have to look at. And that's, you know, Kirby's going to be the one that's always going to be looking at it, making sure we're pushing. And so I just have to say that because I'm going to vote for it, and they'll be like, why are you being critical about the travel? But this is why I'm going to support it, because it's a school board function, and it's for the kids. And so the school board needs to address the travel in a particular way moving forward.
Kirby?
I just want to clarify, I'm not going to support this. I support the initiatives. What I don't support is someone receiving $600 for gas, $400 for gas, $400 for gas, $1,890 for gas, $400 for gas, $400 for gas, $400 for gas. That's 7 individuals driving. I can't support that. We have the General Tribal Council to report for, and that is not being fiscally responsible. We have tribal vehicles, and what I'm trying to encourage is that you utilize a van, tribal van, and it's minimal mileage. I understand there's families, but the tribe has grown so rapidly, and I can't help it, but we've become your employees. I understand you're learning the culture and the language, but we're a business. And I'm sorry, I just can't support the excessive mileage.
Call for the question.
All right, David calls for the question. There's a motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Opposed.
Abstentions? Motion carries with 1 opposed. Thank you. The next item is also the item B, the travel request. Tracy?
This morning I let the secretary's office know that 2 of the people requesting for this travel on this item are no longer requesting, so I was asking if it's appropriate to delete this item because it's no longer a procedural exception needed.
Yeah, all right, so our procedures, and we'll have to take it from the table to take action to delete this item since the request no longer meets the standard to come for business committee approval to the travel policy. So a motion would be in order to take item 8B from the table.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. So with more recent information coming forward, the requester is requesting to delete this item from the agenda because it no longer needs the meets the requirement to come for business committee approval to the travel policy.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Brandon to delete this item from the agenda. All those discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank yous.
No.
All right. Up next is travel reports. Approved travel report for... approved travel report for Councilman Ernie Stevens III to NCI 74th Annual Convention and Marketplace in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, October 16th to the 20th of 2017.
Let's see. Make a motion to approve travel report.
Motion by Brandon. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Daniel. Discussion. All right, Brad, you got 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to cover the whole travel report. Looking under here, Ernie has 7 reports in here, going from October of 17 through August of this year. Okay, and then you got Jennifer has 7. From October of 17 till April of this year. Mr. King has 3 of them from June, August, and August. And then Brandon has 6 from 17 till from October till April. Trish, hers is, would be on time. And then Lisa has 2 of them from May and July. You hold all other boards, committees, commissions, and entities to this tribe to a high standard of getting their reports in. How come you're not holding yourselves to getting these reports in on time? I mean, we're looking at October of last year, and it's finally getting to the, for approval? What's going on? If other entities of this nation fail to do their reports, you're on them. You're sanctioning them. You're doing something. But you're not holding yourselves accountable. You've got to start holding yourselves accountable here because this is going to come out in GTC. It's your job. It's your duties. Your responsibility to get these in a timely manner, not up or near a year later. It's ridiculous. And I will be bringing this up at GTC. This has to be noted to them that you guys are not holding yourselves accountable to your own reports. This is ridiculous. Thank you.
Brandon, then Ernie.
I guess to comment on that, this is as a result of the last, let's see, the secretary is holding us accountable. She's saying no more travel to make sure, and unless you guys get all your reports, and because it's year end, fiscal end to get these all, so when this goes in, it gets consolidated and it gets reconciled. And so once it's reconciled, then all these, this is the process. And so the report, I won't disagree with you about getting them in timely, but there's action that's taking place. So if we come back, we jump right on to say, all right, this is what happened at wherever we went, and we go and report to the areas, and we report to the committee about what actions we need to take as a result. And this is just a formal action in a public forum to formally adopt the report. And so I won't disagree with you about the timeliness, about the public adoption in this forum. But the work goes on every single time we come back. And so as Jennifer's gone, she's representing us on a regional level in healthcare. And so she comes back and she reports directly to Comprehensive Health about what has happened, what's going on, what does she need to go back with. And so, you know, to give context, you know, I agree with you in that aspect about the timeliness, but that there are things that happen after.
This has never occurred like this before. I mean, there has been some where it might have been a month or 2 months, but a year? I mean, it's just getting a little out of hand here. You guys got to start holding yourself accountable. You hold us accountable because we don't do reports on time. I think you should start holding yourselves accountable. That's all I got to say.
Ernie?
I was just going to say what Brandon said. You know, I think a lot of it's, you know, the reports are done. And like you said, there's a public process to adopt them. So I think, like you said, our secretary, you know, reminded us of that duty to do that. So we switched up the process and how we report to make sure that we put them on the agendas, you know, and that we do discuss them in our own forums. We do discuss and provide concerns and feedback and things like that. But don't disagree. We have to improve that, and we've fixed that problem. So feel free to bring it up at GTC. We'll say the same thing. It's a simple process, you know, and we're all learning. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of things that come through. We're constantly putting things on agendas. And so when we submit these, it's kind of a mental process as well, that we assume we submit them, but we didn't actually make an agenda request. So that's what we kind of fix, is that process, at least for me, to make sure there's a formal agenda request. So it's not that we're not reporting. But the information's here, so thank you.
All right. Mark? All right, you got 5 minutes. Thank you.
All right. Morning.
Morning.
Just a comment in general is that Kirby was talking about excessive travel. And in looking at this agenda, you got 3 pages of travel reports. So that means that there's 3 pages of travel requests that came before the business committee. And this is business committee travel. And there's 3 pages of travel here. And so all these travel requests have been approved by the business committee. So if you want to talk about excessive, then to me, it appears to be excessive travel of the business committee. However, at the same time, on the face of it, it appears that way. But once you delve into the actual rationale and the reasoning and the supporting documentation for your travel, then that supports your request that you have. So you're not just, you know, as a travel member, I would look at this and say that the appearance is that it's excessive. But it's really not. And I know that you guys have all these travel reports. What that does is that provides the rationale, the justification, and a documentation for the travel that you do in behalf of the nation. So when Kirby's talking about excessive travel, and he was talking about this excessive travel with regards to our culture and our language, I didn't hear him have any supporting documentation, rationale, or justification to say that this travel that they were doing was excessive. All he said was that it's excessive. And the way that he said it, it made to appear that there is an abuse of travel. That's the way you express yourself. You didn't provide any documentation, any rationale or justification with your explanation in terms of what your opinion was, what you thought was excessive. So, you know, at the same time, everyone's looking at everyone around here in the community, and that's why you guys have these reports. That's why you provide these travel reports, so that you could provide that information to our membership that supports and justifies and provides the rationale and documentation in the traveling that you do on behalf of the nation. An informed tribal member is aware of that. Unfortunately, a lot of our tribal members are not aware. So the appearance is that it's excessive. And it's really not, but that's the appearance of it. So I just wanted to say that, you know, so when you speak as an elected official, then what you're speaking about, make sure that you're clarifying what you're saying and what your intent is of what you're saying. So if I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to come up here and challenge you, then you need to have the supporting documentation, rationale, and justification to support your position if you're going to make those kinds of statements. Donna.
All right. Thank you for your comments, Mark. Kirby.
I want to clarify that, Mark. When I said excessive, it was mileage. There were seven individuals traveling to the same place collecting mileage. And my opinion is that they could, seven people travel in a van opposed to receiving seven individual mileage checks. To me, that mileage was excessive, just the mileage.
Can you come up to the mic? Is it Nancy?
Yes.
All right, Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
Good morning. I just have one quick question. Brandon, I believe you said that Lisa holds you accountable for your reports getting in on time. Who holds her accountable? Because she's got three late reports. And also, with the GTC minutes, we haven't gotten any since January. Where are those? So who holds her accountable? The last minute meetings for GTC were in January that we received.
Yeah, those. Okay.
Unless some have come out with this packet that I didn't see, but.
Okay.
So those are my comments. Who holds her accountable?
I think it was the first part of your question is she's holding all of us accountable, the committee accountable. Say, all right, we're not going to do any more travel, no more approval of travel unless you get your reports in. And so what we worked over the past several terms is how do we report our travel to the GTC as Brad's saying, because you just get a list of travel, and if you just get a list of travel, you just think we're just traveling to travel. But if you look within the reports, you see a lot of substance on why we're going and bringing it back, and we work with the organization on the things that we found out at the travel. And so I think the difficulty is addressing Brad's question about why do we travel, why is it important, and we can tell you, but not just in a list of the places.
And I'm not questioning the importance. I'm wanting to know the accountability.
Yeah, and
she's holding you accountable, but who's holding her accountable?
Yeah, the first part is that she made the motion that nobody's to travel is going to be approved until you're up to date on your travel reports, and so that's for the full committee, and so that's a full committee. The second part, I think Joanne is going to answer about the minutes.
Okay. There are two questions, one in regards to the travel. The business committee holds each other and all of its as a whole accountable in four ways, actually. One, it's reported to the entire General Tribal Council in January and July. Two, it's in a desktop report that all the business committee members can look at how all of the other business committee members are managing their travel. Three, those requests have to be on the business committee agenda for the members to see and other business committee members to be aware of. And the forms in order to receive approval on travel has to contain cost. And fourth, as today is a very clear example, you have to submit your reports. And when there's failure in the program in those four processes, it's absolutely clear. The business committee could have lumped all of these into a single approval, all these reports on the agenda. But in the interest of being open, honest, airing their faults, the fact that these reports haven't been brought in, every single one of them is individually on the agenda so that we can have this discussion today so that they can be called to task on not getting these reports done in a timely manner. The second issue is in regards to the minutes of the General Tribal Council. They're presented to the body, to the General Tribal Council, in January and July. Those minutes are presented as a consolidated set of minutes with the actions at the beginning and a verbatim at the end. And the set of minutes for any one meeting in the past several years has included multiple meeting dates, as the minutes cannot be completed until that meeting is completed. So if we began meeting in January and we recessed until February and then we recessed until April, pulling all of those together, getting the verbatim transcript and getting the action port together, getting that in the packet to the General Tribal Council in July takes time. So if the meeting was continuing after March or April as a reconvened meeting, recessed, you won't see those minutes until December or until the January meeting. The minutes of the General Tribal Council are presented at the annual, the semi-annual meeting in January and July, and not during special meetings of the General Tribal Council, which are called for a specific purpose. Because the General Tribal Council has requested, and I believe it was a motion made about 8 or 9 years ago, that the minutes it must include a transcript of what occurred during the meeting. It does take time and effort to pull those together. It takes approximately 1 hour for every 10 minutes of discussion to transcribe. If the transcription is professional, technical expertise, a history of working with that particular set that can be sped up. But if you look at 4 hours of a General Tribal Council meeting and transcribing that, it does take time to do that and get that in front of the General Tribal Council for approval, in front of the business committee to get into the packet and completed by the Secretary's office. So the current General Tribal Council meetings have been concluding, for example, the one we just had was concluded in one setting, 1 4-hour setting. There is not a likelihood that you'll see those on the annual meeting, because the annual meeting materials are already being developed for January presentation. In those minutes, the transcript has not yet been concluded. So it is possible that they could get that transcript done, they could get the action report completed, they could get the materials to the business committee, they could get it sent out to the General Tribal Council for action in January. But because of timing issues, sometimes there are delays in getting them there simply because of the time it takes to do a transcript.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Any further discussion on the travel report? There's a motion and seconded to approve the travel report. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is also a travel report from Councilman Stevens for the first annual Hemp Expo in Milwaukee.
Approved.
Motion by Daniel to approve. Is there a second? Supported by Trish. Discussion. Ed, you got 5 minutes.
Regarding hemp, I've done a lot of reading. I went to a couple demonstrations about hemp and how it's good for the land and how many things it can be used for, particularly just about everything. And in my mind, when I used to teach, we taught that the Creator provided good things on this earth to help us. And I believe that plant, in all its form, is our gift. Regarding Wisconsin and Oneida, maybe if I missed it, I don't read everything in the Gullerizex, but I'd like to read a report on where Wisconsin is regarding hemp and where we are regarding hemp. And I think it could be a good thing if it can be of benefit to all our people, any economic or physical or whatever. If it can be a benefit to this nation, it could be a great thing. It could be, especially how it refurbishes the land upon which it grows. That's a great thing. So maybe I missed it, but I would like to read something about where we're at and where Wisconsin is at and some possibilities. Yonko.
Thanks, Ed. Ernie?
I appreciate that, Ed, and I'd be happy to facilitate that for you. There's a number of pieces we can provide to you that show where we are at as a nation, kind of what we're looking at, our status on that process as the state as well, even federal. So we'll get that to you. I'll come out and get your – I have your number, but I can get your information, email it to you, drop it off as a printed copy as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
And ditto, Ernie, could you send that to me? I'll give you my email address as well. Thank you.
All right. Any further discussion on the travel report for the first annual Hemp Expo? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next report is from Councilman Stevens to the Tribal Environmental Program Management Conference in Chicago, March 19th to the 21st.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Trish. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Discussion?
I just want to note, when we ask for some of these these travels, they're also reimbursed or they're prepaid for us. So in here, there's a note, and I just want to, for the record, to note that that was covered by the GAP grant.
All right, Ernie?
Just going to add, appreciate that, Trish, that sometimes these travels come by the request of a certain division or department, and they indicate that. So we accept and attend on their behalf or with them through these grants. So just add that. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, travel report from Councilman Stevens, Tribal Caucus and ITCJC meeting in Baraboo, March 21st through the 22nd.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Support.
Supported by Trish. Discussion? Kirby?
Yeah, just to clarify, he rode with somebody else, so there was no mileage collected.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a travel report from Councilman Stevens to the National Indian Gaming Association trade show in Las Vegas, April 16th through the 20th.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second? Seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, the next travel report is from Councilman Stevens. Heating the Midwest 2018 Conference and Expo in Carlton, Minnesota, April 30th through May 4th.
Mr. Chair.
Trish.
Motion to accept, and noting that this travel was canceled, so he didn't need to go.
Mm-hmm.
The report is that he didn't need to go, so I'm accepting the report.
Okay. You made the motion, Trish?
Yes.
Is there a second? I can't remember.
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Discussion, Ernie?
Once again, thanks, Trish, for clarifying that. And also to note that because of the percentage of processing for their registration, there was a cost of $8.10. I did ask that to be deducted, and there was no process to do that. So I'll have to figure that out, how I could pay that back. But, I mean, just to note that it did cost the tribe $8.10. And I did to also note that this is one of two travels that had to be canceled, that one other one was not. There was no report because there was no expense to meet quorum. So just want to note that for the community that that's what happened with this case. I canceled to meet quorum here at home. So thank you.
Any further discussion on this item? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a travel report from Councilman Stevens the 2018 Tribal Lands and Environmental Forum in Spokane, Washington, August 12th through the 17th.
Mr. Chair, motion to approve, and also note that this was covered by the Environmental Health and Safety Division, a grant for the brownfield.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next travel report is from Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, the annual Federal Office of Head Start Tribal Consultation in Anchorage, Alaska, October 17th through the 20th of 2017.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, it's a travel report from Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, Parents as Teachers Conference in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, November 28th through the 30th of 2017.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is a travel report from Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, the Indian Healthcare Improvement Fund Work Group meeting in Washington, D.C. That was January 29th through February 1st, 2018.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is an approved travel report for Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, National Congress of American Indians Executive Winter Session, Washington, D.C., February 12th through the 14th, 2018.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, second by David. Discussion? Trish?
Just to note that this trip she had to cancel in order to meet quorum here, so she did not attend. But in some of these other health care ones also, it doesn't identify that she's been covered. But if she can make a note on her future travels that this was covered by a certain grant or agency or reimbursed, that would be helpful.
All right. Thank you, Trish. Any further discussion on the non-travel report? Kirby?
It does state that in the travel report.
Which one? I didn't see it.
Call for the question.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item, approved travel report for Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, the Indian Healthcare Improvement Fund, Denver, Colorado, April 11th through the 14th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. Is discussion? Kirby?
Just note that $683 was reimbursed by the agency.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item, approved travel report for Councilman Jennifer Webster and Secretary Lisa Summers for the 2018 Tribal Self-Governance Annual Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, April 21st through the 27th.
So moved.
Motion by David Jordan. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Kirby Metoxin. Discussion? Kirby?
The travel expenses were paid by self-governance.
All right. Thank you for noting. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is approved travel report for Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, Internal Tribal Monitoring Association on Indian Trust, April 27th through the 28th.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to accept travel report for council members Daniel Guzman King and Jennifer Webster to the Tribal Self-Governance Advisory Committee, Fiscal Year 19, Bemidji Area Pre-Negotiation, Minneapolis, Minnesota, June 20th through the 23rd.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item, approved travel report, Councilman Daniel Guzman King, 2018 Tribal Lands and Environment Forum, Spokane, Washington, August 17th, 12th through the 17th.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. Discussion?
Chair.
Ernie?
There's something I meant to mention earlier when this was on my report. I think it's important for the community members to know and understand about this particular event. So, you know, this is a national forum for a lot of technical experts in the field of environmental, just overall environmental practices from legal to technical. And what's really cool about when I attended this is that our particular Oneida Environmental Program is known and championed at these national events. You had Jeff Mears, Vicky Flowers, James Snitkin, and the work that they've done for a lot of years is really championed after at these events, and a lot of other programs look to them in developing their own programming. So I think that's really important to understand, and it was eye-opening for me and inspiring, so I want to share that. And also that, you know, people question sometimes about why do we go to these things and what do we bring back? And I think that in recent discussions and meetings with the DNR, there's been a lot of consistent participatory involvement with ourselves, with myself, as well as Menominee, with Chairman Cox and Chairman McGishick at Mole Lake, Wayne Labine from Arc de Flambeau. So we've been very involved in the DNR discussions, and there are things that I learned at this forum that I brought up with the DNR, which included the entire staff, the assistant secretariat, Eberly secretary, and all the top level officials. And these are initiatives that they don't currently practice. One specifically dam remediation I forget how they referred to it, passing through of the fish, basically how fish get through dams and those kind of programs, and there's grants available. So those are two things that came from that forum that the DNR are willing to work with the tribes on to improve things, and particularly Assistant Secretary Ed Eberly is very interested in talking to us about that. So I just want to share that. I think it's important that beyond just what the one or two paragraphs in these reports, that we provide substance beyond that as to why we do these things and why it's important and what we actually bring back. So thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Discussion, Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
I never take 5 minutes. That's too long. I liked what you just said, Ernie. When you guys go on these travels, and I know, you know, sometimes you're gone for a week or and multiple times, and there's a lot of scuttlebutt in the community about you guys going places. They think you're just on a bunch of jet setters, I think. But if you could do like you just did, Ernie, when you guys, like on a monthly basis or quarterly basis, tell us when you know, hey, I went there, just exactly what you just said now. You know, we learned this. This is what we were able to bring back to the community as a result of me going there for a week or however long it was. The more you let us know about what the benefits are of you going to all these places, the more well it's received by the community. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Any further discussion, Kirby?
This is Pete, the, is that the one we're on, land, tribal lands and...
Environmental Forum, yeah.
I want to note that the travel expenses were paid by a grant from the Brownfield grant administered by the Environmental Health and Safety Division.
All right. Thanks, Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is approved travel report for Councilman Daniel Guzman King, Region 5 Tribal Opioid Strategic Planning Conference in St. Paul, Minnesota, August 22nd through the 23rd.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. Discussion. Ed, you got 5 minutes.
As I move into the age of aches and pains, I want to tell you a little about what our elderly population is going through when it comes to aches and pains. There's a lot of Oneidas since they have withdrawn the major use of opioid-based type pain releasers or to get rid of pain, medicine or whatever. There's a lot of Oneidas that I know of, including in my own household. Someone aged 50. And then as you get older, there's a lot more throughout the community who are in a lot of pain. And if you take some of these medicines that are being given to them, yes, it eases pain, but it kind of gets to your mind and it kind of makes your mind overreactive for many. You can't relax. And that's what our people are going through right now, many of them, our elders and people in pain. All it takes is a small fall or a minor car accident, and then they're in that boat. I'm just wondering if you've looked, if the federal government, if the tribe or anybody is looking into what is an alternative now that we're not getting the opioid bases, Oxycontin and stuff like that, which I agree is bad, but then so is pain. Is there something coming or is our tribe looking for or asking questions regarding what can we do to ease pain in this day where the opioid thing is a plague? And we don't want to get our people hooked on it, but then at the same time, we don't want our people to be in pain. I know that in Colorado and Arizona, they have medicinal marijuana. And I've seen Sanjay Gupta and his little thing on TV where they have these athletes who were on these pain medicines and dropped them all for medicinal marijuana, the kind that even don't get you high. You can take the highness out. Why they would, I don't know, but some people take it out. I guess they need a clear mind. Whatever. You can do that. And it's been shown to be a good pain reliever. And I'm just wondering again, do you guys ask those questions when you go to these conferences? What can we do? What is the latest and the greatest on pain management? And what does the future hold? I think it would be a good thing for many of our elders who experience pain, especially your sciatic nerve pain. that can hurt. And hopefully we'll be able to relieve some of the pain that our people are going through now that we've retracted whatever they were giving, and it was addictive. But then when you're 75 years old or 70 or 72, what if it's addicting? You're not in pain. You're not working anymore. So what? Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Do you want to respond, Debbie?
Yes. basically, the Comprehensive Health Division has looked at the whole concepts in terms of pain management. We implemented our first SOP about 6 years ago now in terms of addressing after-hours coverage in terms of pain medication. So our providers have been continuing to monitor and look at other alternatives that are available for treatment of pain, other alternatives that are FDA approved. Unfortunately, the CBD issue has come up, and unfortunately, CBD oil is not something that is FDA approved at this point. So it's not something that we can provide through the health division, but it is provided through Juhanqua. And many of our providers do encourage individuals that if they want to explore that, they look at the other medications that they're taking, and they do referrals to Juhanqua if that's something that that particular individual is interested in. We also do referrals to pain management. We also look at what the FDA-approved alternatives for pain treatment that are available, and they do prescribe those things in terms of what is appropriate for that particular individual. So it has been something that we continue to look at. It's also something that our behavioral health program continues to look at, and it is something that we stay on top of on a continual basis through the health division. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb.
All right. Thank you, Debbie, for the response. Daniel?
Thank you for the comments. And that's something, some of those questions Ed had asked, those are things that we are pursuing and looking into and developing. And I think it always comes down to an issue of how it can be provided and funding. So it's a lot of things that need to get worked out and researched more in depth. But there's, over the last few years, there's been a definite trend into moving towards the more natural pain relievers from herbs and medicines, natural herbs and medicines that from plants and roots and trees and bark and all that. So those are things that I've been researching myself and looking to figuring out how to get those to our tribal members. But it's a work in progress. It's nothing that can happen soon. But in regards to this conference in Minneapolis, myself, along with Officer Ludgie Hill and Priscilla Belisle went. Those two are working with our tribal action plan, and then SAMHSA funded this conference, and they brought a number of tribes together. I can't recall how many tribes were represented. I think over 20 different tribes in the Bemidji area came together and brainstormed on a number of ideas around addressing this issue. And there's a lot of excellent discussion that occurred, and I think it was really beneficial for the federal programs that were represented there. There was a number of federal agencies there, and it was good for them to hear directly from the tribes on what they're dealing with and what they want to see. And those issues that you brought up, Ed, with the natural medicines, that's what we were talking about, and we were letting them know that this is what we want funded. And so they heard that loud and clear. And then also, too, there was a group of grassroots individuals that were invited and spoke at that conference, and their group was called Natives Against Heroin, and they're all addicts, heroin addicts, and they came and spoke to the federal agencies straight from the heart, and it was kind of it was really good. And so they also invited us to come check out the what was referred to as Dope Alley or the Wall in downtown Minneapolis, near across the street from the Native American Cultural Center in downtown Minneapolis. There is a group of approximately 120 individuals that are addicted to some drug, whether it's crystal meth or heroin or any other type of drug, they're camped out along the side of the street, and about 99% of those individuals are Native American, and some of them Oneida. And so the severity of their situation there is pretty extreme. There's, you know, a number of people that are just living in this camp that are strung out on heroin and other drugs. And so that's something that we recognize that we have to address here. And so we're constantly trying to figure out how to address that, whether it's through better healthcare services or developing other treatment programs. So it's a international epidemic, and I think we also have to recognize that it's not an Oneida issue, and it's not something that can be tackled within the next fiscal year or the next decade. It's an ongoing issue that's going to take a generation, I believe, to fix. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Any additional discussion on the travel report? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is approved travel report for Vice Chairman Brandon Stevens to the 2017 Fall Haskell Board of Regents meeting, Lawrence, Kansas, October 11th through the 13th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Kirby. Discussion, Brandon?
Just to briefly note, last spring I became president of the Haskell Board of Regents, and so I preside over the meetings of the Board of Regents, and one of the things that we are discussing is putting a, because we, I don't know what the word is, we stopped the track and field program, and we're looking to utilize the football field yet, and so one of my suggestions was to incorporate or start a lacrosse program, a collegiate lacrosse program at Haskell. And so it definitely could be a feeder program for our young men here that are excelling in lacrosse, that they could play a collegiate level at an all Native American school. And provided that we also, my representation on the board is for the broader aspect of the Oneida students, and the per year expense for Haskell on an on-campus student is $1,430. Off-campus is $480 per year. And so it greatly reduces the cost, and not only of the expense of going to school, but greatly reduces the expenses for the education grant program, and still getting a high-quality education that's recognized by Kansas University, Purdue University, and WashU University, which is the top one of top two social work programs in the world. And so what my position does is help create those tunnels, or I guess highways of education for our Oneida students, to, if they get an education here at UWGB, they can go to a master's degree at KU or Purdue with that pipeline. And so that's one of my roles, is to create opportunities for Oneida students. And so if they would go to Haskell, they graduate from the business program, they could go to KU without taking the additional master's degree level entrance tests, and get admitted almost at a 90% level acceptance. And so we have a couple of law students that gone to Haskell, and we have opened up that gateway to Wash University, which is a Buter program for social work. And so we created, as a result, Oneida as a SAGE grant site for those social workers to do the practicum requirements here in working with our social work program. So we all need social workers for Oneida. We need more social workers. We need native social workers. That's the biggest thing. And so I think it was about a year now, this has been designated as a SAGE grant site. And so we can get their practicum students to do here. And what the SAGE program does and what the Buter School does, they get their full tuition covered, but they have to not volunteer their time. They have to work in Indian country for 2 years after they graduate. And so the point is, what creating this as a SAGE site is getting those practicum students within the organization to work 2 years here, and hopefully they'll stay here. And so that's the whole point of creating those pipelines. And so I think, you know, this goes to what, you know, Brad's saying, what Nancy's saying is, why do we go to these things? Why do we attend these national boards, you know, to sit in a room and hang out? And so, you know, these are some of the things that the GTC needs to hear. And so we're creating that pipeline. And what another thing that we're doing is creating the STEM pipeline from our grade school kids to learn science, math, technology, and engineering. And so we're starting out at the OESC with UWGB, but creating the pipeline with KU through Haskell University and Purdue, which is an engineering, environmentally, prominent school. So I can't say this all in a report because this is over the years I've been on the board, and finally we created this over the last year and a half. And so I'd like to somehow say that and put that in a report somewhere. But, you know, so those are the things that, you know, hopefully we can reflect. Mm-hmm. But my travel is paid for, so I don't know how to report that. It's not reimbursed, so it's $80 for this travel. I got a rental, and so I don't know how to report that my travel is paid for Haskell. You know, for a lot of the things that I do, it's paid for. But I just want to kind of just in context of what, you know, pushing the envelope on travel, making sure that it's justified. That I'll call for the question.
Thank you for your comments. Question has been called for. So we'll vote for the travel report. And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Abstain. One abstention, Brandon. Motion carries. The next travel report for approval is for Vice Chairman Brandon Stevens to NCI 74th Annual Convention Marketplace in Milwaukee, October 18th and 19th.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, approved travel report, Vice Chairman Brandon Stevens to Alliance for Boys and Men of Color Equity Summit, Chicago, Illinois, April 11th through the 13th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Kirby. Discussion? Brandon?
This one was Alliance for Boys and Men of Color is where I sit on the Obama administration-founded National Alliance for National Convening Council, what it's called, but it's called My Brother's Keeper Alliance, and I sit on the advisory board. And so this was an invite from the Alliance, and I brought two high school students down with me to go around the conference, and it's kind of what your daughter does, Stephanie, is that social justice, social movement, and how to get more exposure for Native issues and minority issues. And our goal in that conference was to highlight Native American issues and how they're parallel with other minority communities, but we're still have different issues. And so we were able to expose those two young men to that conference and to bring back that knowledge to their student body on how they could be more involved. And so they're going to bring back how can the school and other students at their age can be a more part of that national movement. And it was more about organization and grassroots activities rather than just getting on Facebook and getting loud. It's actually how do you organize events, how do you organize, how to get a permit. There was a lot of these little integral things that help individuals who, from a grassroots level, create change in your community. And so I think it was really an experience for myself, even first of my, that I've been to. But I just wanted to make sure that the two students, you know, did a lot of good work at that conference.
Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
This one might take.
Thank you, Brandon. You know what? My daughter Stephanie does work for. She's the director for End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. She oversees 80 nonprofit agencies in the state of Wisconsin. I do go with her everywhere, traveling. It is a fight for social justice, racial profiling. At her conferences and workshops and trainings that I've been to, and I've been to, 30, 40 of them, I'm always at the mic. I always talk, say something. And whenever we go to these conferences, they want to know what did we get out of it, what would we like to see more of, and things of that nature. Mine is there's no, I don't see Native American representatives at all these camp, you know, all these things that they have going on, like this Dare to Know campaign. Stephanie, they just launched that. I don't know if you're aware of that. She was on Channel 5. It's really, really interesting stuff. Very proud of her. But again, it's the Native representation, our voice, that we need at these conferences. So thank you. Thank you, Brandon.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Any further discussion on this item? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, approved travel report, Vice Chairman Brandon Stevens, the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Appropriations hearing on Interior, Environment, and Related Agencies testimony, Washington, D.C., May 8th and 9th.
So move.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item for approval, travel report for Vice Chairman Brandon Stevens, the Haskell Spring Board of Regents meeting in Lawrence, Kansas, May 15th through the 18th.
So moved.
Thank you.
Motion by David, seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item for approval, travel report for Vice Chairman Brandon Stevens to the National Indian Gaming Association annual membership meeting and 2018 NIGA trade show, Las Vegas, Nevada, April 16th through the 21st.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Brandon?
I just want to note that I'm on the executive board for the National Indian Gaming Association, so usually the majority of my travel is covered. And then to add, I listed four resolutions that we passed as a board, and so one was the PATSPA, sports betting regulations. That's something we're addressing within the state, and how we would engage in sports betting in the state of Wisconsin, and so that's still... Like as what I said in the earlier comments is that, you know, when this report, when we got back for the travel, we immediately started working with gaming on how we implement sports betting, and those are one of the things we continue to work on. The other thing is concerning is the Land and the Trust regulations and the Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe Reservation Act, and this is why it's important for us to engage D.C., our legislature, and the administration, because Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe in Massachusetts was recently deemed post-Indian Regulatory Act. And so they're taking the land that they took into trust, they're taking back out of trust because they deemed them as post-Indian Regulatory or Indian Reorganization Act. And so that's a huge, huge detriment and a huge red flag for Indian country, saying that this administration is willing to look at the status of tribes post and pre Indian Reorganization Act. And so that's the same thing that Hobart is doing to us right now. They are saying we are post IRA, And so their assertion is that we were a tribe after Indian Reorganization Act. And so the big concern is if they find that we would be post Indian Reorganization Act, that presumably they would take all the land that's in trust currently for the United Nations back out of trust. And so that is a huge red flag that we need to be totally engaged in. And so that's why I feel this is important, that, you know, us engaging the administration, making sure that they understand our position. You know, we've been here since, you know, before the state of Wisconsin, all the things that we need to say. But I think that's something we need to share with General Tribal Council, as this is something that why these things are important, is we engage in the national organizations and push the envelope with them, but individually as the 573 tribes all together pushing the envelope, making sure that, you know, this is termination, basically. This is termination of tribes and how we're going backwards in the 1950s when they were taking away tribes' rights to govern. And so I think that's something we need to kind of flash out there in the gully, you know, GTC and mailers and stuff like that. We need to, I don't know about mailers, but, you know, just to flash out there that this is something we need to keep our eyes on for sure.
All right. Thank you for your additional explanation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item for approval, travel report, Treasurer Trish King to the National Intertribal Tax Alliance Conference, Airway Heights in Washington, August 25th through September 1st.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Daniel.
Mr. Chair.
Discussion, Trish.
On this one, I had several follow-up requests, mostly for research and development. There was two main issues that were talked about besides taxation. One was the General Welfare Exclusion Act and how that applies to tribes, and that tribes are really having a hard time identifying what that is. And at this conference, the recommendation is that the law was written explicitly broad, and that was because every tribe has a different need and a different value and a different source. And so what they want the tribes to do, the NIDA group was asking the tribes and encouraging the tribes to write their rules. So if you're writing your rule about the safe harbor laws, such as the education falls under safe harbor law, that it's not taxable. And it also falls under that GWE. The GWE is what makes it not taxable. It's very high level. This conference was really detailed. So I would suggest the next one we have our finance and or law office represented, as well as the policymakers. The big issue is because tribes also have problems identifying the word tax scares everybody. So it feels like it's going to be an individual tax. And in reality, the GWE is an exemption from tax for certain services and programs. The IRS, I informed the secretary that the IRS is still auditing and or challenging tribal members who receive a higher education scholarship on their tax. They're being required to tax that, especially if they live off the reservation. It's not taxable. And even within our own rules, we've already got that one established. So I'm trying to help the members through program assertion to identify there's a certain rule that you need to file with your IRS tax forms that would help you from not being taxed on those dollars. So it's a huge movement. The other, so GWE was a big discussion and trying to identify what exactly is exempt. And the program, what the big message is that the nations need to identify that policy. When they identify that policy, then they can run it through their administrative their administrative accounting systems, and then we won't be erroneously sending out tax forms, 1099s, for people who receive services if they fall within that GWE. So we have to get that established first. So I'm asking for people to help me do that, to actually identify what the safe harbor laws are for the nation as well as the GWE. It's a big initiative, and it can't be done overnight. It is also something that will help with the educational component that the Vice Chair is working on also. So I think that that's encouraging to see that we can actually combine the two efforts together. Thank you. The other issue was the IRS and the kiddie tax.
Yeah, that's the one.
That is really being watched by NCAI also and NAPOA. The kiddie tax is a tax that the members, minority members, when they become of age and they get their per capita, that amount is taxed at a much higher rate because it, what?
37%.
Yeah, 37%. It used to be before the Trump Jobs Fair Act came in and tax reform came in, it used to be at the rate of whatever the parent was, whatever their tax rate was at. Now it's being taxed at a different category, which brings it up to 37%. The Trust Committee is aware of this, and they're working on it. But for this particular year, there may be an initiative that that Oneida Tribe might want to take and ask the tribal members not to take out their per capita when they turn 18 in fiscal year 18. You know, it's really a strong message that we should try to get to the members. Ask them to take out as little as possible until something can be changed within this rule. This is a legislative fix, so it might take a couple of years. But there should be a huge push from the tribes on identifying that as they need to be identified as independents. And they're not when they turn 18. They're still under the parent, but you know, there's that move out kind of thing. I forget what they call it, but anyway, they're getting taxed at high rate. So the options are to encourage them to stay within the program, the investment program. Don't remove your money yet, or remove it in increments, and then you know, until you become an independent yourself and you're established. And your income rate is set then. So that's a huge initiative that we need to get working with the Trust Committee on. And there's other directives in here that I've asked besides accepting the report. One is to direct the law office to provide an opinion on how the South Dakota versus Wayfair decision can benefit the Oneida Nation and its members. And the Intergovernmental Affairs Office to develop an outline of how to, if appropriate, develop certificates of exemption through the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, as well as consideration of tax agreements with the state of alcohol and fuel. Inside the report, identify that there are tribes that are actually they have tax compacts with their state in regards to alcohol and fuel. We have it with tobacco. We have another agreement with the hotel. So this would be an idea to actually start looking at if we can actually create our own sales and use tax. But that has to be with an agreement of the state. So it's a compact issue. And if after their research we decide we want to do that, then we can start creating the rules and laws around that. the tax code that we're looking at as a nation, could this will all relate, dovetail into all of that. So the tax-exempt certificates are really in regards to tribal members being able to go from nation to nation on a tax-exempt certification. The DOR is stating that the tax-exempt is through a form. You have to carry a form. We're looking at our tribal identification cards as being that certification. So that too is through the state and helping other nations do it. I know that Flambeau does it now. I know that Stockbridge always did it, but I think they were paying the subsidy. Oneida pays the excise tax on fuel. However, if we were to go through this process, the sales tax use tax would be what would be tax exempt for off-reservation Oneida members, as well as other Native Americans, as long as they're enrolled. It's a major change, and it came about with this tax reform. The other item I'd like to see is the Law Office and the IGAC to develop a plan of action for creating rules for exempting income for the General Welfare Exclusion Act, which is what I was just talking about. And if we can get that, I'm really looking for an outline. What do we got to look at, and how do we get there? And then to direct the GSD director to annually provide information to recipients of the NIDA scholarship, how their tuition and other education benefits are not taxable. Again, that's a letter from the nation, including the IRS form, getting sent directly to the member. And then they can add that with their tax thing. And then finally, to form a team from my office to collectively scroll through the GWE and safe harbor laws to ensure we are providing the most valuable protections and benefits to our members. The team should include social services, law office, legal affairs, law, LOC, and finance. It's a lot of work.
Okay. All right, we've got three people waiting to speak. We got David Jordan first, then Brandon, then Kirby.
No, I'm good.
Oh, you're good? Okay, Brandon?
Mine was on kitty tax. I just wanted to make her go over that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. If you can add that on to the list of asking trust and enrollment to look at that, because my daughter's turning 18, and I asked, because I read the stuff, and to be more specific, anything over $12,500 is going to be taxed at 37%. Yep. And so that's almost double to what the tax would have been at 20%. And okay. So I asked them, can my daughter take out $12,499 or $12,000? They said, no, it's only in increments of 25% or 75% or leave it all in. So there's got to be some kind of procedures in the meantime until, because they have to respond to the legislation and say, all right, if we're going to be taxed, that tax is for rich people. That tax is for rich people that try to hide their inheritance in their kids' trust accounts. So they funnel the money through their trust accounts so they don't have to pay that luxury tax that luxury tax. And so our kids are getting dinged for that. Which is not, I'm pretty sure that's not the intent of that, but that is specifically the intent is for rich people. So they don't hide their inheritance in their kids' trust accounts. And correct. So if our kids are getting out, they're getting taxed at 37%, almost double.
Right.
And so those are the things that I think putting that in the, you know, in the, as a motion to help the trust committee, trust enrollment committee, looks at their guidelines and how, you know, our kids could be communicated, but have the option to take out, you know, $12,500 less, so they're not taxed at that rate.
Kirby?
I'm glad you guys are talking about the kitty tax. That's one of the issues that has come up at the trust enrollment board meetings as the liaison. That 37%, that's almost half. And what's happening as a result of this, the enrollment department gets all the phone calls from the families of the kids who are being taxed. They said, why are you guys taking out so much money in tax? And it's not enrollment, but they get all the complaints, and they're being blamed for the high amount of taxes that are being taken out because they're expecting $20,000, $30,000, and they're getting half of it. So I think we have to continue to get the word out and let tribal know you can take out a lower amount at a lower tax. I know everybody wants that money right away, but you're losing almost 37%. That's almost 50%. It's mind-boggling.
All right. Any further discussion?
I think I would like to have, although the report was approved, I would like to have the actions within it also accepted.
Yeah, I was gonna.
It doesn't work that way. You have to add those.
Okay, I just went over them, so.
All right, Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
Glenn was taking notes.
Is there a way? I have a couple granddaughters as well that's getting their minor trust fund money this year. And I didn't know it was 37%, and three of them that are getting their money came directly to me and said, well, Grandma, what should I do? And I said, well, make sure you take the taxes out. So now I feel bad, but I didn't know that it was that amount. Is there anything? Well, it's probably too late to even say anything to them now, Trish, because the process of, you know, for the minor trust funds, they don't get that till October.
Right.
But does, per se, my granddaughter have a chance today to go and change that before they cut the check? Or, oh, okay, she's coming. And then the other thing is, if we do have that opportunity, or if somebody writes everything down for me word for word, I'll put it on GTC Friends, because I think the kids need to know that. That's your right, 37% is a lot of money. Thank you.
Thank you. Joanne?
Multiple points. One, the minority accounts are managed by a trust fund, and in order to change that trust fund, you have to go through appropriate processes listed in that fund. I'm sure the Trust and Enrollment Committee is looking at those documents. Yoder and Langford is the law firm that we've retained to make sure that they're getting the appropriate advice. So you can only remove funds in accordance with that agreement that's in place. You have to provide certain notices to trust enrollment when you're reaching 18, and then I believe it's every year thereafter, on your withdrawals, and you can only withdraw in accordance with that document. Nancy, you did a good thing telling them to take out the taxes, because they'd have to try to find that after they'd already spent the money. So at least at this point, it's not something that they're going to have to figure out where is all that coming from in the end. My recommendation is to contact Trust and Enrollment Department as soon as possible and find out, have them do that and find out if they can change their decision on the withdrawals from their minor accounts. Trust and Enrollments is looking into this. Our office has got a few inquiries out regarding this matter, already moving forward on it. But this is sort of the law office's perspective, we cannot provide individual tax advice. The tribe doesn't provide professional liability insurance for us to do that. Can the tribe put a notice on its website, on its Facebook, in the newspaper for members? I'm not entirely certain what the deadline dates for in regards to the minor trust accounts, but I think we've already missed them. Can the Trust Enrollment Committee look at providing an alternative deadline change so that people can reverse their decisions? I don't know. I think that would need to go back to the Trust Enrollment Committee if they were considering those kinds of things. So this is an issue that kind of crept up on us. We weren't aware what its impact was going to be. And from the law office's perspective, we are somewhat limited on what we can do. From the business committee's perspective, it's different, and you can provide certain types of notices.
Brandon?
Yeah, just lastly, I think it's important why Trish is on this committee is because when the General Welfare Exclusion Act came out in 2014, it went back 3 years. So you can go back and you can file or you can submit, I think, amendments
tax returns
to your past three income, your W-4s or whatever you use to. But I think that's the language they'll be looking for because this is detrimental. Most of the, if you got your money from 0 to 18, and I'm taking my daughter for instance, 0 to 18, it's going to be anywhere from $30,000 to $35,000. And so at taxed at 37%, it's going to be $11,000 to about $13,000 of taxes, which is significant. And so I think that's why Trish's role on this committee is absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
And so we can bring back to administration and how detrimental the kiddie tax is on, an at-risk population that it's nothing extravagant about it.
Right.
And so I think that's not the intent of that. And so I think that's why we need to still engage Trish on some of these activities and how do we do it. And so I want to ask someone for the tax stuff too. But you just said it's like, how can you do that? And the taxes is, but it's almost going to have to eat the cost. And then hopefully that the amendment that we have to this is will address similar to what the General Welfare Exclusion Act did was go back 3 years. And so hopefully we can get it within 3 years, the change we need, and then we can get a rebate.
If we can get, as a committee, we're full as a committee, but we're not official yet until the secretary of the department actually calls a meeting for us. And they're not doing that yet. We've been pushing and pushing and pushing every month, and they're just not responding. So I don't know how what else to do. We even, with the secretary that was there, I forget her title, Christy Jacobson, she's well aware, and she's been pushing herself. And she said she's going to be retiring next year. So, and she's been very influential for the tribes. But I think this process has really got to, we've got to get the tribes engaged and not just the committee.
Yeah. Now, I'd just lastly add is that we're in an excellent position that our per cap distribution trust isn't like some of these tribes that skew the idea of what tribes get for their trust accounts. They think that we all get these extravagant amounts. $30,000 at 18,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a good jump start on life, but it's just a down payment for a house, basically. And so
not even in some
we're in a good position to say it's not crazy to say that this shouldn't be under the kiddie tax, that this should be under the kiddie tax. So I think we need to be on the forefront so it's not they're skewing to say, what about Shakopee? What about the Pequots? They get this huge distribution when they turn 18. We get, a nominal amount. I think it's, we need to get out there. And so how we engage the administration, and I think this is a rule and an application that could be a rule instead of a general application to all 12,500. That's a low amount
yeah.
to go on a kiddie tax. That's pretty low.
Daniel, just
a question: is there an age that kiddie tax does not no longer apply?
And it's not an age issue. It's whether the individual is independent, is considered an independent tax preparer at that point. And usually they have to be 18, 21, or have a job or something, whatever, so that they're out from, it's considered a gift tax, and that's why it's so high. And it's really not a gift. So we've got to identify what it is, and tribes need to identify that, and then we can push that through the state. I mean, not the state, the feds.
All right, so we have a motion on the table to accept the travel report, and then I'll ask for a subsequent motion after we go through this vote on this. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. And I guess I would request on page 4 of the travel report, there is some requested actions. And so I guess I would request that a motion be made to accept the requested actions listed on page 4, or to approve the requested actions on page 4. It's on page 427 of our packet, but page 4 of the report. And those were the outlines that Trish had went over. To accept the travel report, direct the law office to provide an opinion as to how the South Dakota versus Wayfair decision can benefit the United Nations and its members, and IGAC to develop an outline on how to, if appropriate, develop certificates of exemption through the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, as well as consideration of tax agreements with the state for alcohol and fuel, direct the law office and IGAC to develop a plan of action to create rules for exempting income per the General Welfare Exclusion Act. The draft outline shall be made as at the November OBC work session. Direct the Governmental Services Division Director to annually provide information to recipients of the UNIDA scholarship how their tuition and other education benefits are not taxable income, and form a team through the Treasurer's Office to collectively scroll through the GWE and Safe Harbor laws to ensure we are providing the most valuable protection and benefits to our members. The team should include Social Services, Law Office, Legislative Affairs, LOC,
Law
and Finance. Yeah.
Really,
those are the requested actions, so I guess I'm recommending a motion to approve those requested actions.
I'll make a motion to approve those actions and add the trust and enrollment on that, those requests as well.
Second.
To work with them?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Second.
All right, motion by Brandon, seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you, everyone. The next item, approved travel report for Secretary Lisa Summers, the Tribal Caucus and Intertribal Criminal Justice Council meeting, Hayward, Wisconsin, May 23rd and 24th.
So moved. Second.
Motion by David, second by Ernie. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item for approval, travel request, Secretary Lisa Summers to the 2018 Partners in Action in Milwaukee, July 17th through the 19th.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, next item on our agenda, travel requests. There is a request for approved travel request for Secretary Lisa Summers and up to two additional Onibiscuit members to the National Congress of American Indians 75th Annual Conference and Marketplace in Denver, Colorado, October 20th through the 27th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. Discussion, Brandon?
Oh, no, I just was going to make the motion.
Oh, okay. Thought you had discussion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item, enter e-poll results into the record. Approved travel requests for Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, Administration for Children's and Families Annual Consultation, Washington, D.C., September 12th through the 13th.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. Discussion? Brad, you got 5 minutes.
I thought underneath the e-polls that, was this considered an emergency? Travel? There's four e-poll things here that, my understanding was that you had to have something that constituted an emergency for doing the e-polls. Otherwise, follow the proper procedures. So why weren't the proper procedures followed for these four e-poll requests?
The proper procedures are set forth in the EPOL, Standard Operating Procedures for the Oneida Business Committee. They were followed in regards to each one of the EPOL requests. It isn't an emergency that constitutes the need for an EPOL. The Standard Operating Procedure identifies specific steps and actions that need to occur.
I still say that EPOL's got to go. You guys can't fucking... You can't put in requests...
Point of order. Point of order.
No, I...
Please watch your language.
You just swore. You just swore.
You just used the F word.
You just said the F word.
It's not recorded on video.
But if these guys can't do your jobs proper, you got plenty of time to get these requests in. I've never seen a business committee do this as much as you have with these e-polls and everything. It's getting a little out of hand here.
Point of order. I think you're already out of hand.
I don't need your point of order. I am an elder.
But my point of order has been stated because you're cussing statement. In this room and it's out of order. It is out of order. So I ask that you not continue your commentary at this moment on this particular item. So,
Master Chair,
too.
Do
it
properly.
We are doing our jobs.
You're supposed to. Don't do all this when you're on travel or wherever. There's always been forms to fill out and a proper way of doing your request for vacations, travel, everything.
Okay, Brad, so as Joanne explained to you, there is a process for getting e-polls approved, and this process has been followed.
But it's something the business committee put in for yourselves.
Yeah, and it's a process that is approved and that we are following.
It should be. This is getting a little out of hand with all this. We don't know what you are doing, where you're going. Like Jennifer, well, here it was in, and she's out today. So I wanted to know what the emergencies were.
As explained to you already, Brad, that this just because there's an e-poll doesn't mean there's an emergency situation.
And that was my understanding that you guys were going to only use e-polls if it was an emergency situation. See, that's why we wanted Frank's petition coming forward and getting done, so that we wouldn't have these items like this. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And again, Brad, that this is the process that has been approved and we've been following. There isn't any language anywhere that e-polls are for emergency items only, and so we follow the process that has been approved, and as a part of government transparency, that these e-polls are put on this agenda in the open session for our community to be able to see and know the action that has been taken, so that this is the public notice that this travel was approved through our internal process. All right, so any further discussion on the travel request? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is to enter e-poll results into the record or approve travel requests for Councilman Ernie Stevens to three events, Milwaukee and New York, September 5th through the 7th.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Trish. Discussion? David?
Yeah, just for the record, I just wanted to state the three events, so it's not like a blanket e-poll. The first one was a DNR annual tribal consultation, September 5th, 2018 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The second one was a fifth annual media and social impact summit, September 6th, 2018, New York, New York. And the third was Indian Summer Festival Tribal Leaders Meeting, September 7th, 2018, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for the record.
All right. Stating it. Thank you, David. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
See.
One abstention, Ernie. Motion carries. Next item, enter e-poll results into the record. Approve travel requests in accordance with 219.16-1, 6 Oneida Health Promotions and Disease Prevention team members to the Bemidji Area Director's Health and Wellness Award presentation, September 12th and the 13th.
So move.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item, enter e-poll results into the record. Approve travel requests for Councilman David Jordan to the National Tribal Gaming Commissioners Regulators Conference in Prior Lake, Minnesota, September 17th and 18th.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Trish. Discussion, Kirby?
Yes, we will. David will be representing the tribal government, and they will be honoring the late Jeff Matoxin and his family, and Attorney Sharon House.
All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, David. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair.
Trish.
On item D, was there a an identifier of who?
We're not there yet.
Enter an e-poll results for the approved.
It's on page 530.
Debbie. Oh, it's for the team. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I thought it was. Okay.
All right, moving on to new business. A, approve Deborah Danforth, Division Director, Comprehensive Health Operations, nomination and associated correspondence to the National Indian Health, Institutes of Health, National Institutes of Health Tribal Advisory Committee at Large member.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Ernie. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Debbie has something.
All right. Debbie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to add that the appointment to the National Institute of Health allows us to also create a pipeline for students in order to get them interested in research and getting internships at the National Institute of Health in Washington and Bethesda. So that is the significance in terms of participation, as well as the National Institute of Health, the Tribal Advisory Committee, pays for our travel. We pay outright, and then they reimburse us. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you for your participation and leadership. Next item. Enter the e-poll results into the record determining distribution of 100 tickets to the 2018 Indian Summer Festival. Or wait, no. We didn't vote on that, did we?
Yes, we did.
Okay, we did. All right. Yes. On to item B, enter the e-poll results for ticket distribution for the Indian Summer Festival.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next items, General Tribal Council. Item A, accept statement of effect regarding petitioner Gladys Dallas, $5,000 per capita payment within 90 days.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Any discussion? See, Brandon?
It's just discussion. There's a lot of comment out there that we're going to do the same thing we did with the last one, is just not have the meeting. I think this is just the formal process of just accepting the each of the required petition process of the legislative, financial, the statement of effect. That we just follow the process. And so I know that's kind of out there that we're going to do the same thing. It's like, no, we're just following the process, making sure we accept these individual actions here.
All right, so there's a motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, B, accept legal review regarding petitioner Gladys Dallas, $5,000 payment within 90 days.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify. Nancy, you got 5 minutes.
Okay.
in the event that this petition is turned down, as was the other one, in the event that that should happen, I would suggest to the committee, I sound so cliche when I'm up here and I hear other people saying, well, I hear in the community, you know, I don't like to say that, but it is out there. We do know that it's a fact that there are tribal members out there that do need help, that can't qualify with loans from banks if they need car repair or their roof needs fixed or whatever it might be. With that in mind, you know, maybe come up with something you guys yourselves, like I know years ago they used to do a tribal loan program. Maybe that's something we should revisit again. That also, you know, they make a payments. If they don't make payments when they come to the meetings, instead of getting their stipends, the stipends will be applied to whatever they borrowed. But I mean something, because there is a need. There are some people that really do need money. And if you could just approach that, you know, I have a feeling that this, from what I read, this meeting isn't going to go either because of what I read, and I don't support it. I don't support the $5,000. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Brandon?
Well, we have established as a subcommittee to look at the eligibility requirements for those direct services. And so a governmental service director is going to look at all those need-based programs and not necessarily, and look at the income requirements of those and see if those needed to be either softened or just analyzed. And then look at the outstanding declines for need. So if we look at them, if it's for a jet, I need a jet, you know, that's out there. But if it's, I need a water heater, but I'm just above the income requirements, you know, looking at those type of requests to say, all right, we're an organization, we're a nation more so than anything, that we have to look at that rather than paying out, you know, $86 million in the per cap. What could help with those basic necessities when the catastrophic events happen in your life, that you aren't in poverty, but you aren't making the big bucks either. In one instance, you know, a big medical event, you know, a car going under can be detrimental to your entire family. And so I think those are the things we ask the governmental service director to look at and give us that report, so we have something to say. We can do that for those special needs like that.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item C, accept the financial impact statement regarding petitioner Gladys Dallas, $5,000 payment within 90 days.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Seconded by Daniel. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item D, accept statement of effect regarding petitioner Linda Dallas, Medicare Part B premium payment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item E, accept legal review regarding petitioner Linda Dallas Medicare Part B premium payment.
Support.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item F, accept the fiscal impact statement regarding petitioner Linda Dallas Medicare Part B premium payment.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Motion by David, seconded by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Was there an add-on? Well, that's exact. All right, that concludes our open session portion of the meeting. Next is our executive session actions. Reports, executive session to accept the chief counsel report. Is there a second? Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is the service eligibility subcommittee.
There are four subsequent.
Oh, all right.
As part of the chief counsel report, I provided a status report regarding the transition of the personnel commission back to the judiciary. In part, that identified actions that were not taken when the personnel commission were dissolved. I spoke with the chairman regarding those actions, that the dissolution basically meant we didn't need to take them, and requested him if he wanted to move forward with his recommendation under the comprehensive policy governing boards, committees, and commissions. He has submitted that recommendation to you, the business committee, regarding that.
So there's in the memo dated September 11, 2018, there is four recommended actions. First is to accept the recommendation of the chairman and terminate the appointments of Carol Smith, Eric Krychak, Gary Smith, Gerald DeCora, Jason Martinez, Jennifer Hill, Patricia Paulus, Pearl Webster, Sharon Alvarez, Stacy Nieto, Tina Moore, and Yvonne Jordan under the authority of Section 105.6-5. Based on the documentation submitted by members of the Oneida Personnel Commission, the decision of the judiciary, and our findings before and after the dissolution of the Oneida Personnel Commission. So that's the motion I'm recommending.
So moved.
Motion by Brandon. Is there a second? Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next recommended action is motion to direct the Legislative Operating Committee to present the bylaws for the Oneida Personnel Commission at the next Oneida Business Committee with updated qualifications to address the issues of understanding hearing authorities and responsibilities. Motion by Trish. Is there a second? Seconded by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Can you clarify for the record that you mean the next regular Oneida?
Yeah, clarify for the record that's the next regular Oneida Business Committee meeting. We voted. Motion passed. Next recommended action is to motion to defer posting the vacancies until the bylaws are presented and approved by the Oneida Business Committee.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Motion to approve and authorize the chairman to sign that one. Chairman to sign this joint statement provided on September 11th, 2018.
Motion by Brandon, supported by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, the next item is the service eligibility subcommittee, and was looking to defer the service eligibility subcommittee update to the September 26th regular business committee meeting.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is the audit committee. Approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity, Lighthouse Services Incorporated Hotline Service, file number 2018-1026.
So moved. Second.
Was this one the one with the contingency?
Yes. Noting internal audit will work with the law office on eliminating the need for the waiver.
All right. Motioner and seconder agree? All right, concurrence. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under new business, file number ED18-005, determine next steps.
Mr. Chair.
David.
Approve proceeding with a high-impact, low-cost rollout to membership within the next 2 months.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item, number two, under new business, review DR-10 recommendations, self-governance personnel.
Mr. Chair.
David.
Make a motion to accept the recommendations provided by the Internal Government Affairs Communication and Self-Governance Director in a memorandum dated September 6, 2018.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number three, approved research project entitled Ownership Effects Among Native American Banks and Associated Correspondents.
Mr. Chair.
David.
Make a motion to approve research project entitled Ownership Efforts Among Native American Banks and Associated Correspondents.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, file number ED18-028, determine next steps.
Mr. Chair.
David.
Make a motion to direct Ernie Stevens III to coordinate a meeting regarding file ED18-028 and to invite the agreed upon entities.
David made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Brandon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item. Accept the executive travel report from Secretary Lisa Summers for the 2018 Partners in Action Milwaukee, Wisconsin, July 17th through 19th, 2018.
As information.
Can I second with just the comment that the only reason that this is an executive session is because there's sensitive information from other tribes that is within the travel report?
Correct.
Okay, motion by Trish. Was that second by David?
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number six is review complaint number 2018-DR03-01. suggest a motion that based on the materials provided, complaint 2018-DR03-01 has no merit and is closed.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Second by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Trish. Motion carries. The next item was the add-on ED 18-002. The suggested motion is to approve the proceeding with the proposal dated August 9, 2018.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Supported by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions. Motion carries, and that concludes our agenda.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion
11:12.
Motion by David to adjourn at 11:12. Seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose. Abstentions. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.